And now, WJCU University Heights presents Jewish Community Radio, weekly half hour in this time slot every Friday till 3 to 1 p.m., as well as Sundays from 7 a.m. until 8 a.m. And we bring you news and information from the Jewish community and the Jewish community and around the globe affecting the Jewish world, including news from Israel. And joining us this week as we put down our bumper music from the Quill of the Soul CD, Hasidic Melodies by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsberg, arranged by Yonatan Goodman. Nice CD, all instrumental. We welcome to a microphone someone who's the first time here on Jewish Community Radio, someone who I've known for a long time, to talk about what's happening on campuses in the world, as far as also his specialty, an up-and-coming writer, someone who has been in Cleveland for a while and now is a student, still a student, but I expect great things from him. Welcome to our studio microphones today, Caleb Posner. Welcome, Caleb.
Thank you very much for having me today, Fred.
Great to have you. It's you were, well, let's do a background for you. You're a student at Case Western Reserve, active on campus in the Jewish community, and after a while, you changed schools. What school are you going to now?
I'm over at Washington University in St. Louis.
Oh, so Washington University in St. Louis, that's not Washington, D.C., of course. It's why is it called, just a curiosity, I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but why is it called Washington University?
It's named after George Washington, and then because it was often being confused with the University of Washington or George Washington University, they added the in St. Louis part to the name.
Ah, okay, interesting. I was wondering, because Miami of Ohio was there, so I had a feeling of something like that. Very fascinating. And you were a student here on campuses, of course, campus of Case Western Reserve, and very active in the pro-Israel world. I wanted to get a perspective of the students on some of what's happening on the campuses here, and I guess where you are right now. And you just finished your first year at your university over in St. Louis, right?
That's correct.
And what would you say the differences between the between Case and Washington University in St. Louis from a Jewish perspective is? I'm curious.
They're almost too profound to list, but put rather simply, at Washington University, you can be totally open about your Judaism and feel comfortable. There's a substantial Jewish population which manifests itself in a number of Jewish organizations of the religious and non-religious variety. I've never encountered any anti-Semitism, nor do I know anyone at the university who has. The closest thing we have to anti-Semites, honestly, are the extremely anti-Israel left-wing Jews at the school. Whereas at Case Western University, what you had was a severe institutional problem that came from administrators ignoring the concerns of the Jewish community, underfunding the Jewish community, and overfunding the anti-Israel community, giving courses on the Middle East exclusively to professors with a strong anti-Israel bias, and generally student sentiment that Israel is bad and Jews, by way of their support for it, must also be bad, thereby creating a very negative atmosphere.
Now, I do know that students have complained about Case Western Reserve, and there was a... now, by the way, I am not advocating that one university is bad or whatever. I'm not doing that, but I want to get to this student's perspective from that. And but I know that there was... that they, after a number of speakers who were anti-Israel on campus, they brought in, or they paid to bring in, Alan Dershowitz, who ended up being a no-show.
Right.
Which is pretty sad, but since then I don't know any pro-Israel speakers who have been on that campus as far as bringing anybody. I haven't, but this past year I know that there were problems. I know there were students protesting on campus in the past regarding speakers who were let's say anti-Israel at the very least.
I'll tell you, as far as I know, the only pro-Israel speaker who's actually shown up is the one that I and my student group at the time, the Case Nonpartisan Israel Movement, managed to bring in partnership with the David Horowitz Freedom Center. We had Asef Romorowski in at the very end of my freshman year, which by now would have been a little over a year ago.
Now, but you moved on to the university because you wanted to have a... I'm going to put words in your mouth. Why did you move to universities? Was it because of Case or was it because of other reasons?
Well, I mean, certainly I had a number of options, and Washington University was a particularly attractive one. But what compelled me to transfer in the first place was my negative experience at Case. I decided that it really wasn't worth spending $200,000 a year to be made perpetually uncomfortable and or the target of violence because of my ethnic heritage.
Interesting. Now, about, I should say also another disclaimer here that you know that this show is not pick of you representing any of you in your camps. I'm just basically interviewing you to get your opinion of what happened. But right now, let's move forward to what's happening right now as far as university. What do you find the difference in your university right now that as far as your experience is concerned at where you are now?
Well, I mean, it's a rather positive one. I'm sure there are probably some anti-Semites, as there are anywhere, but it's not something that manifests itself. It's not something that, if it were to manifest itself, would be ignored or supported in silence by the administration. So what you essentially have here is a university that operates as it should be, where discrimination is not part of the atmosphere and where the administration would not tolerate it were that to be the case.
Now, I should say the university case did make statements saying that, to be fair to them, that they did not condone or accept the anti-Semitism there, but they believe there was a statement by the university saying they recognized some issues and some problems that they wanted to address. So I want to be fair to the university on that sense, to give their side of that as far as case is concerned. But nonetheless, as far as let's talk about Hillel in Cleveland. Hillel is a Jewish student service. Did they provide? I'm just curious, because we had Gary Coleman on here a while ago, and he was talking about the service they provided as far as the Jewish students. How would you compare the Hillel in Cleveland versus the Hillel in St. Louis?
Well, I'll put it to you this way. At Washington University, I've never felt the need to utilize Hillel because Jews feel comfortable everywhere, and since I'm not religious, I don't need to take advantage of their religious offerings. At Case, I looked to the Hillel, to Hillel naturally because I assumed there would be other people outraged by what was going on campus, and it would provide a foundation for the Jewish community to launch a response. Unfortunately, that was completely absent. There were perhaps two or three other people who took seriously the problem, and the rest, I suppose, decided that it was in their best interest to ignore the problem in hopes that it would go away.
Okay, and we're talking to Cale Posner, who's a student at Case West Reserve, moved to campus because we'll get your opinion about what happened on the student life there. But nonetheless, let me ask you some other questions to a slightly different topic, if I may. First of all, you're not a Clevelander natively, right?
That's correct.
So you live in where, Michigan somewhere?
Yes.
So how did you pick Case? I'm just curious.
Well, it was a well-regarded private university that seemed, at least on paper, to provide a quality experience to its undergraduates. And so after comparing that to the other institutions to which I was accepted, it seemed like, at the time, the best option for me.
Okay. Let me change the topic here, but also again, I was saying, so you're a writer, who is an up-and-coming writer, who is known for commenting about other issues outside of the Jewish world. A lot of it is dealing with Serbia and the like. I want to ask you a question about this here. I'm not trying to be political in this or anything whatsoever. But I'm just curious. Is there anti-Semitism still going on in Serbia, in Croatia, that is alarming to you, or how is it right now for the Jewish community there? I'm curious.
I would honestly say that Serbia is one of the best countries in the world for Jews to live in, because now, as always, there's been very little anti-Semitism compared to the rest of Europe. That isn't to say there isn't any, but, one of the things I find particularly compelling is if you look in most of Eastern Europe at the parties that define themselves as nationalists, many of them will jump on the anti-Semitic bandwagon. But in Serbia, if, say, Obraz or a neo-Nazi group organizes a demonstration and tries to use nationalist rhetoric in concert with anti-Semitic rhetoric, the actual nationalist parties of Serbia, like the Serbian Radical Party, are very quick to denounce it because they see no reason to bear animus towards the Jewish community.
Now, I saw something interesting a while ago, and I want to maybe get your opinion on this one here. I know I'm jumping on topics here, but I know that you're good at that, so I appreciate it. But be able to follow me this one here. I know that anti-Semitism is a major problem in France, where I spoke to somebody, a student who told me that he is scared to wear his kippah outside in public in France because, well, it's dangerous. Are you aware of that? I'm curious. Do you have an opinion? I'm curious.
Well,
I know it's not really your topic, but you know, as long as you mentioned the topic of anti-Semitism, you know, I thought I would ask you that question.
Oh, certainly, that's not a problem. I think France is certainly one of the more alarming countries in Western Europe. At this point, I'm slightly more concerned by what's going on in the East, but I think you'll notice a trend of anti-Semitism on the rise in France and Sweden and the Netherlands. And I realize it's not politically correct to say, so before I utter this sentiment, I'll say I'm not speaking for you or the show. This is entirely my own analysis of the situation, one which is shared by many others, that the anti-Semitic incidents grow primarily in areas where there is a large influx of Islamic immigrants from the Middle East and Africa.
Okay.
And so because France has such a large population of Muslims compared to the rest of Western Europe, the incidence of anti-Semitic violence in those areas where they are the primary residence is rather high.
Okay, interesting. I appreciate the information. Let's take a break for the news from Israel, and we'll come back more with our guests here in a moment, from Caleb Posner, a student who's also an upcoming writer who I want to get his opinion about some stuff here on Jewish Community Radio. And we're back with our guest here, Jewish Community Radio, Caleb Posner. And back to that little bit of music there. Just nice gentle music before Shabbat. And I want to change the pace here a little bit, Caleb, if I may, get to something a little bit different as far as the cannabis world. You mentioned cannabis and anti-Semitism. I wanted to just go one figure. I'm not trying to blame any particular campus. That's not what I was paying to do here. But I have to ask this question. Would you say that anti-Semitism is a problem on other campuses in the country, or do you think that problem that you're talking about is just a unique experience for you?
Well, I would say that certainly Case is not the exception to the rule, but rather anti-Semitism is on the rise at colleges across the country, and this is a phenomenon documented by the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights and the Anti-Defamation League. We have numerous reported incidents at places such as San Francisco State University, Columbia University, Temple University, and even in Canada, in places like the University of Toronto and York University.
Now, I would suspect that Columbia, being New York City, would not be a campus with that kind of problem. But I do know I know there were problems on the West Coast. And I do know that one major Jewish organization was worked with that U.S. Commission on Civil Rights on the anti-Semitism issue. And that was the Zionist Organization of America, ZOA.org. They did some work on that one over the last several years. And I do know, have there been statements like from groups like the ADL or other groups regarding campus anti-Semitism? I'm curious.
Well, in terms of groups that have made an on-the-ground difference, that have provided, say, legal consultation to student groups, that have helped draft memos, that have helped in the substantive fight against anti-Semitism rather than trying to raise awareness at a governmental level, the only group I'm aware of and have worked with is the Zionist Organization of America, which you mentioned.
Yeah, I know they've done great work. I think they deserve some credit for the work they do. And the person, a few people there have worked on that. And locally, they had a rep here. He's I got to give kudos to Nick Israel, who went ahead and, after he finished working for the ZOA, joined the U.S. Army and went to Officer Candidacy School and graduated and is now an officer in the U.S. Army. And I got to give kudos to him for his commitment to this great nation. And but I do know that there have been issues in the past as far as nationally and what. I read an article, and tell me if you you agree with this. I'm curious. I read an article that stated that anti-Semitism is on the rise, and it related to the economy. That when the economy has issues, anti-Semitism rises.
Well, I think there's certainly a measure of truth to that. Going back to the classic anti-Semitic stereotypes relating to Jewish control. And so because of that, as soon as something goes awry, it's very easy to blame the Jewish community. Of course, it's of course, it's factually untrue, and of course, it's not the sole cause of anti-Semitism. There are certainly other factors that foment it, and there are certainly other excuses anti-Semites use to attack the Jewish community. But I believe that it's certainly fair to say that declining economy does hurt the Jewish community.
Somebody said it triggered something in my mind. I remembered. There's a great comment. I don't remember who said it, but somebody said, maybe you know this was, that it was some other, Jews or communism caused anti-Semitism, but anti-Semites caused anti-Semitism. That's something that just rises, that may be ingrained, more or less, I think was kind of what the person said, by anti-Semites caused anti-Semitism.
Well, yes, perhaps I misspoke. Obviously, Jews themselves do not invite anti-Semitism. Rather, anti-Semites are themselves the individuals with issues who try and find cause to give voice to their anti-Semitism without being regarded as inappropriate, which is what makes the anti-Israel topic so contentious, which is to say many anti-Semites use extreme anti-Israel rhetoric, you know, of the variety that Israel should never have been created and this is an apartheid state, as a way to express their anti-Semitism without finding themselves to be outcast for stating politically incorrect things.
Now, one thing I'm going to say is you said something I want to address. You said you mentioned the apartheid claim. I should be very careful saying that. It's very important to mention that in Israel, everybody of many ethnic backgrounds, religions, nationalities live there freely with everybody else.
Absolutely. Arabs in Israel enjoy the highest standard of civil rights anywhere in the Middle East. They have more civil rights in Israel than they would if they were to move to Jordan or Egypt.
Yeah, and so that claim, I hear the apartheid claim, I immediately laugh at first, and then I also realize that, no, this is kind of sad that people actually will fall for this claim because it is completely untrue. In Israel, it's one of my favorite places to go when I'm in Israel is in Haifa, where you can sit down in any number of Arab restaurants, as well as you could say, a Jewish restaurant. And everybody seems to get along there pretty well. Internally there's a lot of a lot of people from different ethnics, ethnicities, I should say, from different parts of the world, and people seem to get along just fine.
Right. I think in Israel proper you'll find a lot of Arab Jewish cooperation. I think the territories in the West Bank are a source of dispute. But, to use that as a way of tarring the Jewish community as a whole, or even for that matter Israel, has always struck me as rather absurd. They talk about denying a Palestinian homeland, but last I checked in 1967, there was no Palestinian country before the Six-Day War.
Yeah, but most importantly, though, is what happens right now there is people are getting along. So the apartheid claim, the way I see it is politically charged and politically motivated, and but I want to clear that. But also, getting back to our other topic here, I don't know if you were aware of this, but in Cleveland, for example, there have been some anti-Semitic billboards. One of which I think was in the Plain Dealer about a month or two ago, and it's kind of sad when, at least in my opinion, when anti-Semitism hits the level where it becomes a mural.
Yeah, I saw pictures of a couple of them. I know there was a gas station downtown that had a mural claiming that Jews basically controlled the American government and were leading it to war in the Middle East to seize their oil. It was one of the most vile sights I've witnessed, and it disturbs me that people aren't reacting in utter horror. Certainly there are members of the Jewish community and some members of the non-Jewish community who have expressed their objection to this, but the response has not been nearly as strong as needs to be the case.
True. But anyway, Caleb, I want to thank you for joining us. We had a lot to hear to talk about. I do want to get to the weather here locally before I end the show. So I'm going to have you hang on here a second. I'm going to ask you, I'm curious about the weather so where you are. But here in Cleveland this afternoon, we're expecting heavy rain, and tonight was severe thunderstorms. I did hear in the news this morning that throughout the Midwest, there were some tornadoes and some bad weather. I did not get a chance to see most of the report, though. But tomorrow, looks like thunderstorms are likely and a slight chance of showers. Looks like tomorrow night. Sunday, partly cloudy, nice. Looks like we're going to have a nice Sunday and through Tuesday. But tonight's going to the rain is going to be high. Well, today's high is 81. Today low is 70. So it's going to cool off a bit, and hopefully we'll have a nice weekend. And so, Caleb, I have to ask you, where you are in Michigan, did you guys have any severe rain or storms the other day?
Yeah, we had some last night and earlier this morning, but at the moment, it appears to be clear and sunny out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to having a nice weekend here in Cleveland. And I want to thank you for coming on. I appreciate your point of view. I want to get a student's perspective on his life on the campuses. And of course, we had no means try to say any one camp particular, but we did mention campuses that you were on and as examples. And the fact that I guess the main thing here was that the fact that we want to say that anti-Semitism is on the rise in campuses, and wanted to hear some stories of what happened, as well as the fact that you're a writer. You're a writer, you're an upcoming writer. I know that you're going to probably make a big name for yourself, so you can say you were on here first, I guess. But your articles get published where again?
Well, I write for Serbiana.com, which is one of the larger Balkans-oriented news and analysis websites. I've had pieces appear on Artsheva. And you can find all my writings on my website, Caleb Posner, that's CalebPosner.com.
All right, thanks, Caleb, for joining us. I appreciate that. We're going to end here with a little bit of some kind of music here before, a little bit of Jewish music before the end of the show.